team that could. It was wonderful. It was needed. It was a hard day to get the food out because of the rain. It didn't make it any easier, but we got it all done. And as Kelly said, we've got some beautiful, wonderful produce things for you back there. So God bless you. And I'd like to start reading. Thank you, Tyler. Thank you very much. Now, right before we start reading, I know that I have a sick and ailing person at my house. Do you? How many of you, does anybody have anybody that's sick at your house? Who? Miss Sherry? Yes, she is. She's got her hands full. If you believe in, if you understand the principle of the anointing cloth and you want to take one home, remember, these services are designed for you. They're not designed for a program. They're designed for each and every one of you. If you have somebody that you want to take, I'm going to take one home to my wife because she's very sick. I'm going to take one home to her. If anybody else wants one, two, or however many, just come up. Just tell me how many you want. Okay, brother. For Brandy? Yes. Yeah, she's very sick. How many do we need here? Okay, sis. Okay. Come on up here. I'm not the one that's sick. Millie is. So God bless you. How many do you want? How many do you want? Isaiah, birthday boy. Join with me. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. God bless you. Happy birthday to you. And how many do you want? How many? Okay, take your hands. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. All right. Wonderful. Welcome, everybody. Some year and a half ago or so, Kayla reminded me, she took a picture, I think, of an anointing cloth that we had given her, and it had three little babies on it. Is that right? And at the time, she didn't have any babies. And that anointing cloth has used up its purpose because now she has three beautiful, beautiful children. We're happy for that. Once again, welcome tonight. I hope that you hear something that will encourage you, that will bless you. I'm going to begin reading in Isaiah chapter 9, I'm going to read verses 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born. Father, in Jesus' name, yes, we will always and forever remember that child, that Son of God, that Jesus. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. God himself, his fervor, his purpose will perform that great promise that we just heard. And my thought tonight is to make room for baby Jesus this Christmas. And there's still time to do that. You know, the famous, infamous movie, A Christmas Carol. The main person in that theme was Scrooge. And he was told, you're not celebrating Christmas well. And you're going to be visited by three spirits. The spirit of Christmas past, Christmas present, and Christmas to come in the future. And the wonderful, uplifting thing in that story, as Scrooge, Ebenezer Scrooge, really began to take a look at his life, was this. He realized he was taking something that was all intent and purpose to be good for all of mankind. Every nation, everywhere. And after the third ghost of Christmas had visited him, he woke up in great repentance and began to pray, God, if you'll just give me a chance, I'll do better. And he stuck his head out the window and said, what day is it today? He asked the young boy. And the boy said, well, sir, today is Christmas Day. And he said, the Lord got all of that done in my life, and he got it done just in time for Christmas. And I want to say to each and every one of you, there's still time to make room for Jesus this year. There may be an area, and I'm speaking of areas where there's sadness, where there's a feeling like you've been let down, or where you want to hold something against somebody, or whatever the case may be, I'm telling you, there's still time to make room for Jesus this year. We've got a couple more weeks here, and think about that tonight. And I'm telling you and encouraging you that you can make that choice tonight as we take communion. You can make that choice to keep Christmas in a proper way, which should be full of generosity, celebration, praise and worship, and maybe mostly, if you want to be an ornament on the Lord's tree, forgiveness. Forgiveness for things that come up in your heart. There's things that happen we don't even intend for them to happen. And they happen at the time. They're implemented by Satan to try to destroy our Christmas and our spirit of the way we're going to act at Christmas. So all I'm asking you to do is just go through these few verses with me, and we'll take communion in just a minute. There'll be plenty of time to get the plenty of goodies that's out there. There's a lot of good things out there, isn't there, Angel? Yes, Angel helped put them out there, and she helped us today. Thank you, sis. I'm going to be reading Isaiah 53, verses 1 through 7. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. That's the way Jesus was. He just looked like an ordinary fellow, is what they're trying to say. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But see, that's not what happened. He was wounded for our transgressions. The whole human race, from the beginning of time, from the first man, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement that brought us peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Now hear this. It includes all of us. All we, like sheep, have gone astray from time to time. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. The word says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he that knew no sin was made to be sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Mankind lost his righteousness in the fall in the Garden of Eden. By chapter 4 of Genesis, we have the first murder, where Cain murders his brother Abel, and it gets worse and worse and worse. All we, like sheep, have gone astray, and we have turned every one of us to his own way. And the Lord has laid on Jesus the sins of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Recently, I was part of taking a lamb to the slaughterhouse, and that's just the way they are. They don't make any noise. They don't make any big deal out of it. They just take it patiently. No wonder Jesus is called the Lamb of God. Thank you, Father. Thank you. And be reminded tonight as you hear this word, it's a word of hope. It's a word of, let's be honest. And it's a word that you can get a part of. And I'm telling each and every one of you here tonight that there's time. If there needs to be some adjustments, and I'm talking about in your heart, not in your head, not in other parts, but in your heart, there's time, absolute time. Ask the Lord as you hear these words, Lord, is there any place in my life that I need to make amends here to you, to the cross, and to my fellow man? Let us put up Luke chapter 1, chapter 2, I'm sorry, verses 1 through 7. The Gospel of Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, house of bread, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because There was no room for them at the end. The most important birth of this planet was the birth of Jesus, the Savior. And he came almost unannounced. There was no room for him in the inn. He was put in with the animals where they fed animals. He was laid in a feed trough, a manger. And he was unassuming. Yet he was the person that changed the whole world. And that changed our world. Everybody that's born again here tonight, you've been changed by the finished work of Jesus Christ. The ghost of Christmas past, Christmas present, and the ghost of Christmases to come. Think about that with me for just a moment. I was thinking, I have a few songs that I put in a certain place in my music box, Christmas songs, because I almost won't have any more use for them until next Christmas. It's almost over, but there's still time. Everybody say, there's still time. And I don't claim to know your heart. I just claim to know the Lord's heart, and that he wanted these words and these Bible verses to be read, these thoughts to be brought forth. So there's time. There's still time. Listen to some more verses. Then were the two thieves crucified with Jesus, one on the right hand and one on the left hand. One of them had this attitude. You know, you're supposed to be the Son of God. If you're really who you say you are, save yourself. And he was a little bit presumptuous the way that he spoke to Jesus. And then the one on the right said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. I'm in need of any help I can get from you. And I believe that you're the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, the anointed one. And Jesus turned to that one and said, today you're going to be with me in paradise. That simple act, you know what it was? It was an act of the heart. If any of you in this room have ever been saved, it was an act of your heart. Something in your heart said, I'm incomplete. I need a Savior. And you ask Christ to come into your life as he said to you, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens up to me, I will come into them. And that's still true today. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, you can know him before you leave this building tonight. For I say unto you that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. And Jesus was considered and was, he came into this world humble, unassuming. He left this world as a lawbreaker. And as we mentioned last Sunday evening, the religious leaders of his day tried everything they could to make sure that he would always be seen as a curse because he was hung on a tree. But he's the Savior of the whole world. And there's only one Savior of the whole world. And he can save anybody, anywhere. Well, how does he do that? What about people that have never heard about Jesus? What about people that have not, they don't know that language? I don't have all the answers, but I have enough of the answers that I know this here. The Lord has forgiven me and saved me, and the Lord still forgives me when I mess up. and he'll still forgive you, and he loves you, and he wants to celebrate Christmas with you, the best Christmas that you've ever had. And let me tell you, if you have the best Christmas you will ever have, it'll start with your heart and what you will let God do with your heart in the next few minutes. And that's only up to you. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. He said here to his disciples, birds have nests and foxes have holes, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head down. And that's the way it is. That's in every Bible that there is. And we have to think about that. We have to think about what that means to us. But he made of himself no reputation, and he took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, which is the death of curse. It's a death of curse, you guys. That's who we're talking about this evening. Have all of you seen the movie at least 30 times, A Christmas Carol? Yes. And the thing that Charles Dickens wanted to emulate and bring to us is this feeling. If you're watching this movie before Christmas, there's still hope for you, if you want there to be. Now, I'm going to fulfill my promise, and we will get out of here before 8 o'clock. And I just want to set forth the tone. We're about to take communion. Now, according to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, communion starts with you searching your heart. But let a person examine themselves, and then let them eat of this bread and drink of this cup. And that's what we're about to do. Now, communion here is the most wonderful, blessed thing. Communion here is open to everybody. And yet, nobody is forced to take communion here. We fully respect and love you. And yes, we have pretty chairs, nice carpet, a beautiful stage. But you are the most beautiful thing in here to the living God. He loves you. He cares for you. And having said those things, let's take a moment and let's just examine our hearts. And let's just wait and ask the Lord, Lord, is there something I should be addressing in my heart that you don't like in there that I should confess to you? For it is written in 1 John 1:9, he that confesses his sin, God is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from any type of sin. Or if there's something you feel like you want to make right before Christmas, and